Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary System. So today we're starting on text 4, which has a very short purport. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. There's only one more verse that has another very short purport. So we're going to make rapid progress through the fifth canto today. And then the next chapter will be about the subterranean heavenly planets. So we're pretty much getting out of the elaborate descriptions of the locations of the different planets and their various distances. There'll be, as I said, some description of the subterranean hellish planets in a chapter, and then a chapter about the glories of Lord Anantadeva, and then a chapter on the hellish planets. And then we're kind of out of the fifth canto at that point. So it's been a long journey, and we're getting towards the end of it. So text 4, I'll read the Sanskrit myself, and then I'll just read the purport and then just the translations for the rest of the verses. Kechanamai taj jyotir anikam shishumara samstanena bhagavato vasudevaya yogo dare daran adyam anuvarnayanti. So the translation, this great machine consisting of the stars and planets resembles the form of a Shishumara, dolphin, in the water. It is sometimes considered an incarnation of Krishna, Vasudev. Great yogis meditate upon Vasudev in this form because it is actually visible. Purport. Transcendentalists, such as yogis whose minds cannot accommodate the form of the Lord, prefer to visualize something very great, such as the Virat Purusha. Therefore, some yogis contemplate this imaginary Shishumara to be swimming in the sky, the way a dolphin swims in the water. They meditate upon it as the Virat Rupa, or the gigantic form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 5. The form of the Shishumara has its head downward and its body coiled. On the end of its tail is the planet of Dhruva. On the body of its tail are the planets of the demigods, Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And at the base of the tail are the planets of the demigods, Datta and Vidatta. Where the hips might be on the Shishumara are the seven saintly sages like Vasishta and Angira. The coiled body of the Shishumara, Chakra, turns toward its right side, and on which the 14 constellations from Abhijit to Punarvasu are located. On its left side are the 14 stars from Pushya to Uttarashada. Thus, its body is balanced because its sides are occupied by an equal number of stars. On the back of the Shishumara is the group of stars known as Ajaviti, and on its abdomen is the Ganges that flows in the sky, the Milky Way. text 6. On the right and left sides, where the loins might be on the Shishumara chakra, are the stars named Purnavasu and Pushya. Ardra and Ashlesha are on its right and left feet. Abhijit and Uttarashada are on its right and left nostrils. Shravana and Purvashada are its right and left eyes. And Dhanishta and Mula are on its right and left ears. The eight stars from Magga to Anuradha, which mark the southern course, are on the ribs of the left of its body. And the eight stars from Mrigashirsha to Purvabhadra, which mark the northern course, are on the ribs of the right side. Shatabhisha and Jeshta are on the right and left shoulders. Text 7. The upper chin of the Shishumara is Agasthi. On its lower chin, Yamaraj, on its mouth, Mars, on its genitals, Saturn, on the back of its neck, Jupiter, on its chest, the Sun, and within the core of its heart, Narayana. Within its mind is the moon, on its navel, Venus, and on its breast, the Ashvini Kumaras. With its life air, which is known as Pranapana, within its life air, which is known as Pranapana, is Mercury. On its neck is Rahu. All over its body are comets, and in its pores are the numerous stars. Text 8. My dear King, the body of the Shishumara is, as thus described, should be considered the external form of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Morning, noon, and evening, one should silently observe the form of the Lord as the Shishumara chakra and worship him with this mantra. O Lord, who has assumed the form of time, O resting place of all planets moving in different orbits, O Master of all demigods, O Supreme Person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you and meditate upon you. Text 9. The body of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, which forms the Shishumara chakra, is the resting place of all the demigods and all the stars and planets. One who chants this mantra to worship that Supreme Person three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, will surely be freed from all sinful reactions. If one simply offers his obeisances to this form or remembers this form three times a day, all his recent sinful activities will be destroyed. Purport. Summarizing the entire description of the planetary systems of the universe, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one who is able to meditate upon this arrangement as the Virat Rupa or Vishvarupa, the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worship him three times a day by meditation will always be free from all sinful reactions. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur estimates that Dhruvaloka, the pole star, is 3,800,000 yojanas above the sun. Above Dhruvaloka by 10 million yojanas is Maharloka. Above Maharloka by 20 million yojanas is Janaloka. Above Janaloka by 80 million yojanas is Tapaloka. And above Tapaloka by 120 million yojanas is Satyaloka. Thus, the distance from the sun to Satya Loka is 233,800,000 yojanas, or 1,870,400,000 miles. the Vaikuntha planets began 26,200,000 yojanas, or 209,600,000 miles above Satyaloka. Thus, the Vishnu Purana describes that the covering of the universe is 260 million yojanas, about 2,080 million miles away from the sun. The distance from the sun to the earth is 100,000 yojanas, and below the earth by 70,000 yojanas are the seven lower planetary systems called Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. Below these lower planets, by 30,000 yojanas, Sheshanaga is lying on the Garbhadak Ocean. That ocean is 249,800,000 yojanas deep. Thus, the total diameter of the universe is approximately 500 million yojanas, or 4 billion miles. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 5th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Shishumara Planetary Systems. So even when ordinary people look at the stars in the sky at night, you know, they identify different forms there. There are different constellations, like Orion, you know, the hunter. There's Draco, the dragon, and there's Cancer, the crab. You know, there are the various signs of the zodiac. So even when ordinary people look at the night sky, they identify, you know, different patterns as different forms of different creatures. So here in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're learning how some yogis, when they look at the night sky, you know, they see the different planets and stars and celestial bodies organized in the form of this great Shishumara, or dolphin is the word used here to describe it. So they see like that. Of course, it's a much more, you know, complicated form than, you know, the rather simple forms of the constellations that most people see when they, you know, look at the sky. Does anybody know how to recognize constellations? Some of you do, yeah. So, of course, it's a little difficult here in Los Angeles because of the light pollution. It's very difficult to see the stars. But if you're ever, you know, out in the desert or someplace where there's not much light around, then you can really see that it's quite extraordinary how many celestial bodies there are. So we're learning here in the Srimad Bhagavatam that manifestation of all these celestial bodies, stars and planets, is actually a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a kind of Virat Rupa, a kind of universal form. And there are varieties of universal forms that are presented to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the universal form that Mother Yashoda saw when she looked in the mouth of Krishna. There's the universal form in the Bhagavad Gita that was shown to Arjuna. And it was said it required divine eyes to see all the features of it. So typically universal forms, they have some features that are normally visible to us and then some features that can only be perceived with the aid of divine vision. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this fifth canto, we're being presented with some different virat rupas. In the beginning of the fifth canto, as it enters the cosmological descriptions, it directly says it's presenting a virat rupa, a universal form. And at the end of the fifth canto, after all these descriptions, we're reminded again that what was being presented was a universal form. But various aspects of this universal form are being presented. For example, in the first part of the fifth canto of cosmology, we got a description of the universal form that included Mount Meru, the Jambudvip, the different ring islands and ring oceans, which are not normally visible to us. So for that, to actually perceive that, we require, you know, divine vision. And of course, this is all being described by Maharaj, by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And he says, as he's beginning his description, he says, I'm presenting to you something I've heard from authorities. He's not presenting something that he's directly seen himself. But there are authorities that he heard from who have seen these things. So he's presenting that. But this particular description that we're getting here, it's another version of the Virat Rupa, or universal form, that's being presented here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is directly visible. It's just the things that we see when we look up at the sky at night. You know, the different planets, stars, constellations, comets, moon. These are being described here as part of this Sishumara form, which again is presented as a form, an external form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is, you know, the essential point, that these Virat Rupas are being presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam as forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that it is helpful to meditate upon if one is not yet at the stage of being able to appreciate the direct form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not just saying this, this is directly stated at the end of the fifth canto descriptions. It's stated like that, that by meditating on this form, yogis and transcendentalists who aren't yet ready to grasp the direct personal form of Krishna can come to the mode of goodness and purify their minds by meditating on this form so that they will eventually be able to perceive the direct form of the Lord. Of course, as devotees, members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, disciples and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, were already being presented with the direct form of the Supreme, you know, Personality of Godhead. So we're already past, you know, the level of consciousness that's being described here. So, but it's helpful for us to know these things, that the universe is not just a bunch of atoms swirling around in the void that happened by chance somehow. The universe, you know, that we observe when we look at the night sky, that is actually a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a person. It's the Supreme Conscious Person. And all the celestial bodies are inhabited by conscious personalities, different demigods and different sages. And there's a whole cosmic government, a cosmic order, you know, just like in the world, there are different nations, cities, counties. There's an arrangement that's governed by personalities at different levels. So in the same way, you know, there's a cosmic order, and it's personal. Nothing is impersonal. So this arrangement of these different celestial bodies and the personalities that rule them is a universal form of the Lord. And we see in other parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are other descriptions of other universal forms which explain how the different personalities in the universe occupy different positions in the universal form of the Lord. You know, the sun is the eyes, and you know, their descriptions how the different demigods and the planets that they rule are situated on different parts of the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that means there's some organic connection among all of these personalities and the places that they occupy. They're organically connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's very helpful to understand this and meditate on this. As I said, the universe is not just some, you know, impersonal place, just some atoms swirling around in the void. You know, the universe that we observe, it can look like that. It can look like just some impersonal place, but those with some higher vision and some knowledge who take guidance, you know, from the Srimad Bhagavatam can learn to see even the so-called material universe as an external form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Virat Rupa, a universal form, and it's very helpful to do that. Because if we understand, you know, that the universe is a form of the Lord, then we'll be very careful, you know, how we use it. If we just think, oh, it's just matter out there for us to exploit, dominate, and control however we like, then we get a situation pretty much like the situation of the world today, where people are simply trying to dominate, control, and exploit to the maximum extent possible the resources of the universe. They're not even content with the earth now. They're starting to think how we can establish mines on the moon and the asteroids, and you know, they're planning how to extend this process of dominating, controlling, and exploiting the material resources beyond this planet to other planets even. So, and in doing that, they wind up creating huge environmental crises on this planet by their efforts to dominate, control, and exploit the material resources, which they don't see as the property of God. They see as our property. And they fight for control of these resources like oil and gas and different minerals. They fight for control of them, and then they try to exploit them to the maximum degree possible. And in doing so, you know, there's all kinds of conflicts and wars and environmental crises. So if people actually understood this is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these aren't just impersonal resources for us to dominate, control, and exploit. Ishivasyamidam sarvam. It's all the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should only take our quota. We should understand what our quota is. You know, we should accept the minimum necessities for maintaining body and soul together. And we should try to get these necessities in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible while putting most of our human energy into developing our God consciousness, into self-realization, Krishna consciousness. So this is the ultimate message here. This isn't like some astronomy textbook, you know, where we're simply trying to understand in some impersonal way, you know, the layout of the planets and the celestial bodies. It's the presentation of a virat rupa upon which it is helpful to meditate. It will bring the minds of those who aren't prepared to contemplate the direct personal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the platform where they'll be able to do that. Of course, we're already at that stage. So we don't have to chant this mantra to the Sishumara form or contemplate it three times a day. We can chant our 16 rounds and come to Mangalartik, and if we have our Gayatri mantra, we can chant that three times a day. That's sufficient for us. But still, it's helpful for us to understand these things. It's presented there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Archita?
Hi, Prabhu. Thank you for a nice presentation. There's a question from the internet. Devotee wants to know that the scientists have their theories that they can't prove, but they want us to prove the statements that we're making from based on Shruti and Smriti. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I was going to read some other material about the Shishumara form, and in there, there's Srila Prabhupada gives some interesting commentary. This is from his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 26. And I think it's very appropriate to the question, for the question that was asked. He says, in the creation of the Lord, there are many wonderful things we can see with our own eyes every day and night, but we are unable to reach them equipped by modern materialistic science. We should not, therefore, depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. Because all these astronomers and cosmologists, they're here on the earth. They haven't gone out to the far reaches of the universe to verify, you know, what they're saying. They haven't traveled there. Even with their instruments, you know, their satellites and space telescopes, they're still very close to the earth. And so they may have their theories about what's out there, but they're nothing that's been really verified by people going out there and checking it. So Srila Prabhupada says, for a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements, either of modern science or the Vedic literature, can be verified by him. So the point is, these things have to be accepted by authority. So who's the better authority? The alternative for a common man, says Srila Prabhupada, is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because it has been accepted by the Acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, but are also liberated souls without any of the flaws of the conditioned souls. The modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of the Vedic literature like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by great acharyas. So either of these views, the modern scientific view or the Vedic view, has to be accepted simply on the basis of authority. There's no way to check it, verify it, verify all of these things. So the question becomes, which authority should we put greater faith in? The Vedic literature purports to be descending from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is omniscient, who knows everything, past, present, and future, who is the ultimate source of the whole universe, not just this universe, but many universes. And his consciousness is beyond all illusion, mistakes, imperfections. The knowledge is being transmitted from that source through the cyclic succession to us, and it's also recorded in the Vedic literature. So ultimately, we would have greater faith in that source of knowledge than in knowledge that comes from conditioned souls who are limited, whose senses are imperfect, who are liable to commit mistakes, who are liable to cheat, whose ideas are constantly changing. If we look at the different scientific explanations of the cosmos over the past 200 or 300 years, we'll see they're changing almost every year. So ultimately it depends upon which source of knowledge is more deserving of our faith and trust. So I would propose it's the source of knowledge that's coming ultimately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and liberated souls in disciplic succession. Vijay.
There's another question on the internet. Is the universal form more important or the two-handed form of the Lord?
The personal form is more important. The personal two-handed form of the Lord as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is more important. Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, I'm the source of everything. So the source is more important. However, some people may not immediately be able to accept that. And for them, it's helpful to meditate upon the universal form of the Lord as it's being presented here in the fifth canto and in other places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other Vedic literatures like the Bhagavad Gita. For some people who are very much interested in material reality and who have not yet been able to grasp the spiritual realities beyond this, it may be helpful to see aspects of the material reality as a universal form of the Lord. So we're being given guidance here in the Srimad Bhagavatam exactly how to meditate upon, this universal form of the Lord. So the personal form is more important, but as a step to that, for some people, for some yogis, for some people, it may be helpful to meditate on the universal form of the Lord.
Another question is, what is our stance on the mineral resources of the earth? Are they there for our use, or should we leave them alone?
We see in the Vedic literature that people made use of the mineral resources of the Lord. Even Krishna, he went to Govardhan Hill and he got various minerals and things like that to use for decorating the body. So we can use the mineral resources and other resources of the earth, but we should use them only to the extent that they're within our quota. So what is our quota? Our quota is simple living, it's determined by the principle of simple living, high thinking. We should use the resource of the earth just to the extent that it's necessary to live life in a very simple way and put most of our human energy into developing our Krishna consciousness, our God consciousness. So that is, you know, the principle. The principle of the current materialistic civilization is to dominate, control, and exploit the material resources to the maximum extent possible in competition with everybody else. And therefore, you get a very crazy world with so much environmental destruction and conflict for control of these resources. So it's better to understand we're all coming from the same source. We're all from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all parts and parcels of Krishna. This is Krishna's property. Let's use it according to the directions that Krishna gives. And the direction he gives is just take what you need. Even Gandhi once said, there's enough in the world for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. So when you get greedy, then you try to take more than you need. And that's the source of our financial crisis. Some people are trying to take more than they actually need, exploit the system. That's the reason for our environmental crisis. People are taking much more than they need. So we can take the resources of the earth, but only to the extent that we actually need to live a simple, natural life while putting most of our energy into developing God consciousness. Okay, I think we are over time, and I like to stay to the schedule. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You're welcome.